Can we hear the word before we hear? In fact, it's time for prophecy. I want to prophesy. Somebody say, Prophet Moses, fly on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But people don't like my type of prophecy. They don't like it. They don't like my kind of prophet. They don't like it. See? Because my type of prophecy will not see your container arriving. My type of prophecy will not see visa. Amen. Praise God. Let's open Revelation chapter 22. Amen. I want to just give an exhortation. I want to just address a certain group of people that come to this church but don't understand what we are doing or the seriousness of what we are up to in this church. Not too many people coming here understand the seriousness of what is going on in this ministry. You just come, you enjoy the anointing. You enjoy the grace. And that is good. The anointing and the grace is given for us to enjoy it. Hallelujah. There's a song in our hymn book that says, there is honey in the rock, my brother. There is honey in the rock for you. He said, lay your sin for the blood to cover. There is honey in the rock for you. Amen. There is honey in the rock. Amen. The church, what gave birth to that song, there is honey in the rock. That rock is a rock. Amen. In the east there, that is a rock made up of calcium that has healing particles there. It heals. When the shepherds find out in the east in those days that one of their sheep is sick, they are infected by one epidemic or the other, they will go and take honey and splash it on that calcium rock and bring the rock and the sheep to lick the honey. The aim of the honey is for the sheep to lick and then be able to lick that and jam that calcium so that you will receive healing. If you take the calcium raw and pour, the sheep no go don't look at. And as soon you go just go like that, die. So the shepherd is well trained. He now puts it there. And so the sheep will see that honey and they rush and wah, wah, voila. As they lick them, they lick calcium. They lick calcium. And before you know what, you receive healing. Amen. And the rock of our salvation is Christ Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a rock. It's a calcium rock. And he put this gift, this grace that you find here, healing, deliverance, this prophetic discernment of problems and solutions. All the testimonies you have here is the honey. Hallelujah. That covers the calcium rock. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Peter Peter was catching fishes one day. Amen. Let me not go to Peter. Peter is 2,000 years ago. William Branham. The angel of the Lord came to him to give him the secret of catching fish. And he came in a vision. And the angel stood in that vision. I was telling, this is how to catch fish. He said, you don't take a naked hook and throw it in the river. It will catch nothing. Everybody will say, the fish will laugh at you. My pastor, and go. So you use a fishing bait, and every fisherman knows that. You put something that you know the fish will like to eat. The fish is hungry and wants to eat something. Suddenly, it throws the fishing hook and the bait in the river. But there was something that William Branham said that the angel told him. He said, whenever the fish, when you throw it, he said, the man that threw the fisherman is looking for big, big fish. He's not looking for small, small, small fishes. But the first fishes that get attracted to that thing, they are normally small, small, small fishes. Immediately there is any movement in the water, small fish, they run to go, whether the food don't come. Amen. The big fish, they will always stay behind from experience. From experience. We know, say, maybe everything will fall for water, be food. Hallelujah. He saw every preacher that is a preacher from God. He saw every anointing you see that will attract a big fish. And Pentecostal denomination describe big fish as a wealthy man that comes to church and says, oh boy, we don't catch one big fish. We go sponsor our ministry. That is Pentecostal churches. But a big fish is a predestinated seed of God whose name is written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the big fish. Hallelujah. Because we are sent to catch fish. We are not sent to catch crab. We are fish, oh, real fish. And so, those small, small ones, it is happening at the Ikotun now. Now let the first one go. It is happening now at the Lagos by the expressway. It is happening at Shongota. Now then they don't go. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Jesus Christ too. Amen. The thing was happening. Amen. In his own ministry too. I know. I think there is something like Ebano. Eh? Hallelujah. You heard that it is happening now in Ejesha. The big, the small, small fishing. They will run. Where did they go? In Jesha. Let it happen now. Ebano. Amen. Andrew found Nathaniel. Who found? Philip found Nathaniel. Philip found Nathaniel. There was a crusade going on. Philip saw what he has never seen before. He ran, what do you call him? Nathaniel too heard about the crusade, oh, that Jesus Christ was having miracle signs and wonders. Philip came to him, oh boy, Nati, come and see. And what did Nati say? He said, waiting for where the thing that happened? Nazareth. It is happening where? Nazareth. Eh? He said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's a big fish. Before he will come, can any good thing come out of this place? That's a big fish. So the angel told him, before. This is for evangelists. This is for ministers. These are those who go to evangelize. Those of you who are pastors, you sometimes say, why is my church not growing? Do you know how to catch fish? Do you know how to catch fish? Jesus Christ went and saw Peter catching fish. He told him, all night they didn't catch anyone. He told him, Peter, he said, cast your net to the right side. Peter said, I beg, we day here, I have my experience in this evangelical activities for many years. I not catch anyone. You they come now. He said, well, though I have told all night, I didn't catch anyone. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. When he threw it at thy word, it means he was doing it at his own word. If you raise up a church according to the word of God, it will grow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It will grow. A pastor came to me some time ago and told me, he said he watched me on the television. He said prior to that, his church, he is very gifted. He said, but when people come, they don't stay. When the problem is solved, it will go back. So he thought maybe the anointing was not enough. And he told me all the churches, he's been visiting ministers, he's been visiting, hoping that the anointing, he will learn how they do the anointing so that he too will do his own. He mentioned all the churches, including the church, our neighbor church here. He said he came there. But he said one day he was sitting there in his room. He just flipped the television, he just jammed the channel we were preaching. But then, it was rounding up. And then he said, which campus again be this one? He took the time, and then the same time again, the next day, he kept watching. He said, from that time, he never missed that program. He said, one day, he was listening to me, and I made a statement. He said, he heard me saying on that telecast, that anointing will attract the people to come to the church, but only the word can keep them. Amen. Only the word can keep anybody in that church. If not, you will be like a general hospital. Anybody that stay for general hospital? When do you go to general hospital? When do you go to hospital? When you don't heal, finish, you see him again? He don't go. And that is how many ministries are. Praise the Lord. Why? Because they don't know how to catch a fish. Praise God. And then the angel was telling William Branham, and it is not just William Branham, but all followers of William Branham's ministry. I believe the angel was telling me too. And he said, those small, small, small angels, fishes, they will rush and come. He said, then the big fish will stay one corner and be looking at them, they shaking them. What is happening there? He said, then you take the first pool. If you ever hear intermessage preachers preach before, you hear them mentioning third pool. Third pool. Third pool. But before third, there is first and second. The first pool is that fishing. He said, the angel told him, said, when you see them coming like that, and you see that big fish stand there, they look like that. He said, then he wants to see through food, then that thing have been an ordinary thing for. Because a true child of God does not go everywhere for solution. There are places you go for solution, you end up adding more problem upon your problem again. Therefore, every child of God, before you go to anywhere and make yourself available, a man you don't know to lay hand on you, a man you don't know, sister, to place hand on your womb to pray for you, you want to be sure he is from God. And so the big fish is looking at them. He said, the first pull, he said, pull that something up a little bit. When you pull it up a little bit to enable him, she said, something there, they are not playing. When you pull like that, they will rush more to follow it. He said, that fish, that big fish, will now come closer. Be like, say something there. Then he will come closer. To enable him to see again, he said, the second pull again. He said, that second pull you pull is close enough to see that something there, food there. Let me go and display this first one so they make a chop my own there. If not die of hunger. He said, immediately he comes the second pool, he said, then that fish will now discover it is real. There's something there. The angel said, then prepare for the third pool. Because he is coming by that second pool. He is coming, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is coming to eat it. In the course of eating, the hook will now hook him. Then you bring him out of the water. Hallelujah. And every ministry has these three stages. All dispensational ministries, they have these three stages. Jesus Christ had these three stages. William Branham also had these three stages. What is the first pool? The first pool is that healing and deliverance. Healing. Everywhere Jesus Christ went, it was just healing. Why? So that the predestinated seed will get their attention. Everybody was following. He knows what he was doing. He was not preaching, you know, just love your neighbor, love God is good, the kingdom of God has come everywhere. You know, offend the Pharisees, not offend the Sadducees. Just everybody they come so that he can have chance and enter the synagogue. And they have chance and enter places. He was just taking it easy until everybody knew about Jesus Christ. Then it was from there he now went to the next stage. Hallelujah. After the healing, you see those mighty miracles, signs and wonders. The thing was increasing. Somebody that is blind, born blind, received his sight immediately. It has never been done before. Ha! Then they say, who is this person? Then the storm was raging. He woke up and said, peace be still. The storm stood still. Ha! Water was going. He walked upon water. He walked upon the sea. They say, what manner of man is this? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then everybody was coming around. Then when he was sure he has gotten enough, there was one time there were 70 disciples that said, I will die with you. But he knew who all of them were. John chapter 6. They were there. 70 of them. It was now time to catch the real fish and let the small fishes go back to the water. The water signifies Revelation chapter 17. This lets us know that water means what? The world. Multitude. Multitude. It's a symbol of the world. Praise the Lord. And the fishes in the water are God's children that are in the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. He comes and pull you out of the world back into his kingdom. Praise the Lord. And he does it the same way the fishermen go into the water to fish. Use that to make us understand how he catches his fish. And then by the time they now gather, now the third pool is the one that will catch only the big fish. The third pool is the opening of the world. The third pool is the revelation of the world. And so many of you coming here, it is the gift. No, but hardly anybody will tell you, say, go to Brother Assembly and see. You go hear something. Then they do Bible study there. He will come. He will say, Bible study. My bishop is doctor of theology. So waiting the day away, you know. So Bible study say I don't get time. But you tell him if you go there, they go they before they will call your name, they will prophesy to you, he will say, you mean there is a place where they can know my problem? You say yes, come and see. When he come here finish, he will come and say, hey, not be only prophecy they hear, there is calcium under the honey. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And may that calcium catch every predestinated seed of God here tonight. There are many of you that problem I carry you come here. But when you sat down here, you say, hey, where are these things for Christianity? How many of you? Can I see your hand? How many? You are the big fishes. But if you observe, the people that directed you here, they know they follow you come again. They know they follow you come again. There are small, small fishes that cause the attraction for the big ones to come. Praise the Lord. That's why I say, when you come here, never you lose track. We are not a miracle working church. No, lie. The gift, the healing, the deliverance, the prophecies, and all that we do here that bring give you a testimony, they are only an attraction to come down and hear the message. Church, there is a message in the land. God so loved this Laodicean church age. We are the fourth horse rider, the pale horse rider in Revelation chapter 6. We are his busy deceiving the whole Christian world, deceived, and with their chest open and Bible in their hand, speaking in tongues, and they were all going to hell. All of us were on our way to hell. But God so loved us, he sent a message to tell us what we are doing, to warn us and bring us back on the Christian tract. But how will you hear it? He released this unusual gift here. People who don't understand, they say we are using juju. It's not juju, church. It's not juju. It is God using all his glory that he can to cause you to come and hear something. And if we don't tell you the truth, when you come here, our judgment will be higher than the Pope of Rome. Oh, Catholic. Okay, not Catholic. Not Pope. Okay, to be higher than... I don't want to offend Catholics today. So that to be higher than Guru Maharaj. I think the matter is settled. But they are all brothers, the same, they are twin brothers. The two of them are twin brothers. So I just know one color, I call them twin brothers. But they are identical. Praise the Lord. According to the Bible. See, church, the greatest opportunity for your salvation that God has given you, and I say confidently, is that God will lead you to a church like this. This is the greatest, and this may be the only opportunity some of us have for you to embrace true salvation. And so we begin to understand this scripture in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. I read one verse. One verse, if you are there. It says, verse 17. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Are we there? Hey, have I offended anybody? Have I offended any sister here? I don't like offending anybody. You are not offended. Eh? Sorry. I did not tell you today not to wear trousers. Sister, did I say you should stop wearing trousers today? Did I say you should stop painting your face? Did I say you should stop having boyfriend? So, have I offended anybody? Now, answer me now. Praise God. I read it again, verse 17. And the Spirit, this Spirit is the Holy Ghost. And the bride, this bride is the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst do what? Come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. And the topic is the great invitation. I think I've spoken briefly on that. I don't know whether it's a Sunday or... Was it a Sunday? Was it a Friday or a Sunday? Vigil. Is it vigil? Okay, what did I title it? The Great Call? This is the Great Invitation. I know I started when I could not know whether it is Friday or Sunday. I started, but we didn't finish it. Friday night? Yes. Okay, praise the Lord. If you heard it before, hear it again. Because I only introduced it that day, we didn't finish. The bride, the Spirit and the bride say, come. It's an unusual statement in the Bible. The Spirit and the bride, they say, come. Amen. And it is an invitation. And church, when we talk about this great invitation, God has been in the business of inviting the people, calling the people, inviting them. And I gave a series of examples. The first example we have in summary is Noah. We all know that in the days of Noah, God determined because of the evil that was on the land to wipe off the whole earth. Church, wipe off the whole earth. Why? Because of the evil. But Noah found grace before God. God came to Noah and told Noah, gave Noah a secret that not too many people knew at that time. Build an ark. Gave the specification of how the ark would be. Told him the secret of what he was going to do against the whole world. That he was going to use water and destroy the whole world. What happened? Noah had it and preached for 120 years. But people were mocking him. They did not believe him. It's scientifically impossible for somebody to tell you at that time that water will come and flood the whole earth and finish everybody. This old man, is there something wrong with him? Because at that time there was no rain. The Bible says dew used to come from the ground to water the ground. So nobody could believe that there is water up there that can be released to come down here. What happened at that time? After God's patience waited with mankind for 120 years, out of the millions of people that surrounded the earth at that time, how many people finally entered the ark? How many? Eight human beings. Eight. Church. Eight. Church, if you were alive at that time, will you have been in the ark or not? You see? I thank God for his love for us. I thank God for his love for us. Ah, I thank God for his love for us. A lot of people don't worship God the way you should because you have not appreciated what the meaning of salvation is. A lot of us worship God as if we are doing God a favor to worship him. Why? Because you have not found a reason to worship him. Not too many people have received true salvation. True salvation comes first from a revelation. The revelation of God's love for you will produce a grateful spirit, an appreciating heart. And it is that appreciating heart that determines how you will worship God. Somebody say he's saved. He knows Jesus. And all you see about this man Jesus is what you will get from him or through him or by him. That's all Christians. That's all the approach to worship. When a young man was sharing his testimony with me during the week, and I looked at him, I said, no wonder. Nobody else understands why you worship God the way you worship him. Why you serve him the way you serve him. Because he was an arm robber. Don't worry. One Friday, maybe next Friday, I will come here and then I will play his testimony, the interview with him. So that some of us, in fact, it should be our sermon for next week. He was an arm robber. He said they terrorized Imo State. Said they terrorized the Imo State for years. The last operation they went, he said they killed two policemen in the exchange of fire on each road, according to them. He said they grabbed them. He said they pursued them. Police was pursuing. He said the villagers were pursuing them. Amen. Until eventually, he saw one Anglican church. He said he ran to the altar and began to confess his sins before the priest. The priest hid him for some time, but somebody reported to the police a few days after they came and picked him back to the police. He said how the police decided to waste them. How the day they were to be his own turn to be killed. He said they tied them chain to take them to one bush somewhere and execute them. He said the whole time he got there, after he stayed for how long, they tortured them, police for you to confess and all what not. He said he went there. They were going to kill the other one. He said they were going to kill them. There were many now. Fire them, kill them. He said they pass everybody will fall. So he said he fall. He said come fall. He said fall. He called their life, say they don't shoot them. The bullet don't get them. So he stood up in that confusion. He said the policeman cocked the gun to shoot back. And the gun hook. He said he was battling with the gun. He said the guy said, don't shoot him. This young man, come. That is how they took him back. From there, they decided to take him to court. Awaiting trial in the prison. He was awaiting trial for 9 years. And how the case was tried, adjourned for 36 times, three different judges. And on the last day, the day that he went to court, the third judge now told them, prosecutor, where are the witnesses for this? He said, the prosecutor said there are 14 witnesses. Where are they? Please, you want to take one more adjournment so that you bring it. He said, the woman judge, you say, open section, waiting. Read up. He said, the lawyer read it. That you cannot keep somebody awaiting trial without trial for more than 5 years. He said, you have kept this young man for 9 years, and you are telling me you need another adjournment. In that case, I discharge and acquit him. You see? That is how he came out. But while he was in the prison, he gave his life to Christ, was serving God there. He said he fasted for 4 years, eating only once in a day in fasting. He said, he made a vow to God, if you will save me, if you will keep me alive, I will serve you. He was discharged and acquitted for lack of prosecution. Praise God. Such a person, so dead, because they shot them, that the hand of God stopped him. Is he better than those ones? He said he robbed. He said he was the leader of the group. Such love, such wondrous love, such love,
such love,
such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I.
How wonderful
is love,
my
such love,
such love.
Amazing grace,
how sweet
experience grace, we don't know how to worship God. God preserved him like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see the difference between the two groups of people now, how they serve God? See how they serve God. I told him in my office, I said, you see, the way you will serve God is different from the way others who don't have any personal reason to serve him. No personal reason. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. For 120 years, that old man told them of the destruction that is coming. They refused to believe him. What happened? All the whole generation perished. And God will never bring a judgment until there is first a warning. That is one thing about this God. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, what? The judgment. Has it occurred to you? Have you ever sat down to say, come on, what if now I die? Where will I be? What if something happens and I die now? Where will I?